commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. Today is a Tuesday. It's a political day. If you have any questions you would like to call into our guest, Will Stapp, we are at 907-458-TALK. That is 907-458-8255. And Mr. Stapp, there are 13 days... 8 hours and, oh, we'll say 51 minutes left before your election closes. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm surprised you didn't count the seconds either.
I could have done that. But it would have been immediately off. So
yeah,
I went to the minute.
We are 2 weeks out from the November 8th election. There's a lot of folks on the ballot. Obviously, if you live in House District 32, which is Hamilton Acres, Island Homes, Shannon Park, all of Fort Wainwright, and most of Badger Road, I'm going to be on the ballot, too, out there. And, it's exciting. Early voting just started yesterday, and I went and voted. And so I know for a fact that I'm at least going to get one vote on Election Day.
You know, on Election Day, I always go vote on Election Day. I'm just that way. And I enjoy it. You know, you always I look at it as saying hello to the election workers, the poll workers, and the poll watchers. Good people, and saying hello, and here I am, and, it's how I do it, but good for you.
Yeah, no, I normally always vote on Election Day, too, but I figured this year, because I have some self-interest, I should probably be out making sure that other people are out voting on Election Day than myself. So.
And you know something? We make it very easy to vote. If you're not going to be in town, and you know that, go to the polls early. Yeah. Or if you're out of town, request a absentee ballot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fairbanks, we're back. We weren't on there. I have, you know, now that I'm mayor, I have so many responsibilities. Well, I didn't have the right button pick. So I have Will Stapp in the studio here with me. Here, we're going to start again.
All right.
Yeah, you know, there's this one button I always miss. And, I was having such an intriguing conversation with you before our intriguing conversation that I forgot about that intriguing button. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. And, of course, we don't want our newly elected mayor to have to assume that responsibility, so I'll take the responsibility of distracting you.
I appreciate that. But so you are 13 days, 8 hours, 49 minutes away to Election Day.
Yeah, from Election Day. It's
early voting started yesterday.
Early voting did start yesterday. November 8th is Election Day. Obviously, my name's Will Stapp, and I'm running for House District 32, which is East Fairbanks, i.e. Shannon Park, Island Homes, Hamilton Acres, all of Fort Wainwright, and Badger Road. And absentee ballots have gone out. Early voting started yesterday.
You've been a very active candidate.
Yes, I would hope so. I have a rule in life, you know, you might not always win, but don't get outworked, you know.
If you're in, you're in.
Correct, you know.
Yeah, you know, anytime during my time of running, I'd go through East Fairbanks, Hamilton Acres, Island Homes, Farewell. I was like, whoa, this is, you got a lot of signs.
I do. And I've lost some due to weather and stuff, and I put some more up. But yeah, we have a lot of signs out there. I've had an absolute pleasure going out and talking to all of our potential constituents there in Hamilton Acres and Shannon Park and Island Homes, you know. Of course, out in Badger, too, if you ever get out that way.
You've I call it like the road show. You've been at, how many forums and debates have you been in so far?
Yeah, so I have done, so with the other candidates on the stage, we've done three forums, NAACP, Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce, and last Friday was live on KOAC for the League of Women Voters at the Borough Assembly Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we did those, and I think all of those went really well. I think there are a lot of great questions, and I think you can see clear differences between, you know, the people who are running for office, not just in the seat that I'm running for, but all across the interior here.
You know, it's interesting. No matter what your political philosophy is, there is a candidate for you.
Mm-hmm.
There is a candidate for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's a lot of different dynamics, you know, and I think background and experience, those help a lot, too. Like, I tell folks, you know, where I live to represent, you know, Fort Wainwright's obviously part of our district.
Tell me about the hat you're wearing.
Oh, my hat. You know, my hat is...
Tell Fairbanks about the hat you're wearing.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Get into that.
This is your background, your experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I came to Fort Wainwright when I was in the Army. That's how what I brought to Fairbanks. I was in the infantry. The hat I have on, it says Iraqi Freedom Veteran. I did two deployments to Iraq. I actually bought the first one I ever had on my last deployment from Iraq in 2010. And I bought it from this little place in Ali Asalim when I was about to get on the bus to go back to fly back to the States. And I bought the hat because it said manufactured in Vietnam. And I thought that was funny because I had a hat that said Iraqi war veteran that was made in Vietnam.
So, you know, what's it a cost per unit?
Yeah, right. Just goes to show you, America always wins in the end, right?
Yeah. And so... You came to Alaska,
mm-hmm.
military.
Yep,
served, found an incredible wife up here.
Yep,
you have two beautiful daughters.
I do, Abigail and Amelia. Yeah, my wife's Alaska native, so I actually met my wife after my first tour to Iraq. I got back in December 07 back to Alaska, and I met my wife about a month and a half after that, and ended up getting married in December 2008. So we've been married going on almost 14 years. Yeah, this December. So,
and you own your own business.
Yeah, in insurance, I do employee benefits professionally. The cool thing about that, I tell folks, I mean, insurance is kind of boring, but it's allowed me to travel all over our state, right? So I've had the opportunity to travel from communities like Unalaska or Dillingham or Manicotic or Unalakleet, Nome and Kotzebue and Anaktuvik Pass. So I have been all over the state meeting a bunch of wonderful people, and that's probably one of the most fun things I tell folks about knocking on doors here in Fairbanks, because you go to someone's house and you see their last name and you say, hey, I think I just saw your brother out there in Galena, right? So, and then you have a chat about that, and or you'll see one of these families in, you know, in a village or something, or in a hub community. Or you'll sit next to him on a plane, and you know, you never know who you talk to that has a great idea. So,
there you go, Fairbanks. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Well, actually, I wouldn't say quick anymore. We're sort of loaded up with commercials through next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. I think they die off. How's that?
Yeah, I think there's something's going on or something. You know,
we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey, how you been?
Oh, hey.
Great to run into you here. What are you up to?
I'm just having my coffee and reading the election pamphlet, doing my research before the election, you know?
Yeah, I know I'm definitely voting for Lisa Murkowski. She does a great job for us in the Senate.
Yeah, Lisa's my pick for Senate, too. She really gets results for Alaska. And Lisa's not afraid to work across party lines to get things done. She's delivered big investments to improve Alaska's infrastructure, and she's always fighting for Alaska jobs.
Don't forget, though, Lisa also secured the funding to demolish the Polaris building and investments for the university, brought the F-35s to Eielson, and she's always been a leader in growing and protecting Alaska's energy and mining jobs. All big things for Fairbanks and the interior.
Yeah, Lisa Murkowski does great work for Alaska. We gotta keep her seniority in the Senate.
Mm-hmm. I'm Lisa Murkowski. I'm running for the U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Lisa Murkowski for U.S. Senate. So you miss Camper Valley RV showing at the Go Winter Expo? No problem. The Camper Valley RV Show continues from now till November 20th at the Old Kmart on Airport Way. That's plenty of time for you to check out the latest RVs in person. All RVs will be fully prepped and ready for on-site delivery. True four-season outdoor RVs, Prowler, North Trail, Sport Trek, Torque Toy Haulers, Motorhomes, and more with on-site financing up to 180 months. All at the Camper Valley RV Show at the Old Kmart till November 20th. Don't miss it. For more info, visit CamperValleyRV.com.
It's that time of year when you should be making your appointment with Cowles Heating. With the price of home heating oil so unpredictable, it's more important than ever that you are tuned up and ready to go. You can count on Cowles Heating year after year for boiler repair, inspection, cleaning, and replacement. With your continued support, they'll be here for many more years to come. Schedule your inspection, repairs, and heating upgrades with Cowles Heating. Call 479-HEAT. That's 479-HEAT.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR weather.
Flurries likely today, otherwise partly cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 26. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, 14, cloudy. Chance for snow tomorrow, 23. About an inch of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have State House Representative District 31 candidate Will Stapp in the studio with me. He's all the candidates. Here's a shout out to you. You've been working hard. It's been a long journey for you. Many of you have been doing this for a year. Will, when did you decide to go for this?
Oh, I think I put my intent letter in almost a year ago, sometime in November, right? Yeah. I mean, I was on the show here talking about my filing for office and kind of what I wanted to do to try to move Fairbanks and our district forward. And yeah, it's been a long time and a lot of work, but you know, nothing in life is a guarantee. So
I had congressional candidate Nick Begich in yesterday, and you all have that same, like, not a 1,000-yard stare, but you all have that 400-yard stare, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you're just trying to think ahead and make sure all your planning and, say, proverbial ducks are in a row, right? So
yeah. You know, it's been interesting with the different forums. And like I said, there's something for every person as a candidate. Now, you're quite distinctively different than your opponent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, I think you saw that in the different forums that we attend, especially chamber forums. So I tell folks the great thing about an election, at least in my opinion, is you kind of go into it. And my goal is never to, you know, attack my opponent, really anything outside of articulating the differences that we have on policy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that's going to be the future of Alaska, what the tax burden should be on residents, and whether or not we believe that, you know, large government spending is really the solution to all the problems. You know, I tend to come from a place that I believe one of the scariest things that can happen to you is someone comes and knocks at your door and they tell you that they're from the government and they're here to help, right? I mean, you know, and I also think that at the end of the day, you know, there are two economies in a healthy economy. There is a public sector economy and there's a private sector economy. And the public sector is always balanced upon the shoulders of the private sector economy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're
the taxation pays for it.
Correct. So when you're a policymaker, I mean, your primary goal in life, in my opinion, is to ensure that the policies that you are advocating for are designed to ensure that you have a healthy, robust private sector economy that is performing at a high level, that can absorb the costs of needed public services and be healthy enough to facilitate that. Because what happens if you have somebody you're trying to carry on your shoulders and they're too heavy and you're too weak, they're going to crush you. Just like Alaskans are being crushed right now with high inflation, high gas prices, and electric rates, right? And when folks folks are, you know, are on a stage and they say, well, what we need to do is enact billions of dollars in more state spending. And in order for us to pay for that, we're going to levy massive broad-based taxes and excise taxes.
That's basically what your opponent endorsed.
Yeah, in a nutshell, you know. And
he raised the yes flag on that. You raised the no flag.
Yeah, that's correct, on the chamber. And we had actually a chance to articulate our positions, you know. And, you know, I do not believe that the thing that you want to do, especially when you are already suffering from runaway inflation, is to take more money out of people's pockets and spend it on
government items.
Government programs. Yeah. And, you know, especially if those programs are not designed to provide ROI to private sector performance, right? So Alaska, and I think high oil prices has kind of woken everyone up to this again about our state. Alaska has a structural issue with a spending problem, right? So when we go into high revenue years, i.e. when oil is high, there is this knee-jerk reaction to spend all the money. Correct.
Yep.
And, you know, you could go through a list of projects, you know, a hatchery and subsidizing, you know, Matanuska Maid and all these other programs that, you know, they ended up as giant boondoggles and waste of money. So I tell folks, we can't afford to be doing those things in our state anymore. Otherwise, we will find ourselves in really critical fiscal positions, you know, where, you know, the amount and the value and the cost of our services is astronomical.
Ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Will Stapp, and your name is?
Good morning. It's Al.
Hello, Al.
Well, what I just heard kind of answered my question was about the legislature continually funding this idea of a long trail, which is a, you know, a dream that if you build it, people will come, and that's basically going to private individuals to control a piece of state property. So would you continually want to fund that from state general funds?
Yeah, so the argument in favor of the long trail is, you're kind of right. I mean, the argument is, well, if we build this in the argument's a tourist attraction, then we'll get people here. I tend to tell folks that that's probably not a high priority of spending at the current time. And the reason being is, you know, when you're in leadership, you have to balance the needs and wants of the state. And most of your state spending should be, especially in the interior, if you're going to have to do it, it should be designed to reduce people's reliance on the high costs of energy. So I'd be a no on spending on the long trail at the current time. Although part of that's the Purple Heart Trail, so that kind of hurts my heart because I'm a Purple Heart guy too. So,
boy, you're going to ask a horrible, hard question there, Al.
Well, I think they skew everybody with their demographics. I don't think...
It's called marketing.
If people visiting Alaska are going to want to hike anywhere on a long trail and full of mosquitoes.
Or there are other existing trails and things that they can do.
Yeah.
Now, so don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be somebody who's going to want to do it, but you're kind of hit the nail on the head when you talk about return on investment, right? I mean, we have a finite amount of money, so what should we be investing right now? Should we be investing in ways to generate cheap energy for residents, or should we be investing in a long trail?
Al, didn't the governor veto portions of that?
Yeah, he vetoed a good portion of it.
Yeah.
He did fund some of the existing trails that are down in the Anchorage Bowl area, but stopped as soon as it kind of left the Anchorage area.
Yeah, that's more high user areas.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's looking at your cost per user real fast. You know, a long trail, you know, you're not going to get many people out there to tell you the truth, and then, you know, you're problematic with rescue if something happens.
And you know, the bigger issue is it's going to deny some access to Alaskans.
Yeah.
Because they will non-motorize it, and they won't let you cross it, so it's going to landlock a lot of state land. You
can't hunt on it.
For uses.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
All right.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
You're the best of luck.
Yep. You know, it's interesting how public and private lands can be used as a sword and a shield.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Yeah, and again, that's another, I mean, I'm actually glad that he brought that up. I mean, that is a perfect example of a want and not a need, you know.
Yeah.
And look, I kind of want the trail personally, but when you're in leadership, and anyone who's been in leadership, I think, understands this, you have to be able to distinguish between the wants and needs, especially when you're looking at immediate fiscal pressure. And I tell folks, Alaska's financial structure, in my opinion, is like the cat with nine lives, right? As soon as we get to the last life, some, you know, investment fairy gets shot out of the sky and our investment fund gets a 28% rate of return, or oil skyrockets again, and we get bailed out. And we think just because we get bailed out for a high oil price and that gives the state a lot of revenue again, we don't have to go back and fix the structural problems we have with spending. And that's only going to work until it doesn't. And that's what I tell folks.
Yeah, very true. Any future forums on the horizon?
Yeah, so we have one more forum, I think, that I had planned to attend. I don't know if nobody else plans to attend. I probably won't attend, not to sound bad, but it's the UAF, the Student UAF Forum. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason why people don't really want to attend is because it's like 4 or 5 days before the actual election day. It's in November. So typically, there's not a ton of value of going to a forum just a handful of days before the election, because there's no way that you kind of articulate views to audiences, and most of those people have kind of made up their mind at that point, or they're voting already. So,
and one of your lowest voting areas is actually the University of Alaska student body.
Yeah, I don't pretend that I would have a lot of people who would be registered to vote.
They're not in your district.
Yeah, that are on the university. But I've always been the type of person that I don't mind going anywhere and talking to anybody and about articulating my viewpoint.
I went to 7 different events, and I went to everyone that I was invited to, and a lot of people did not.
Yeah.
But they said, okay, I'm going to go to everyone.
Oh, that's always been my philosophy, too. And to kind of use an analogy, you know, when Martin Luther was invited to his trial at the Worms, he said, "The devil has invited me to preach in hell, right? And I'm going to go." So
you would remember and could quote that, Will Stapp.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, I mean, look, history has actually always been my passion. It's what I was going to school for at UAF. I was actually president of the UAF Honor Society for History. So mm-hmm. I always try to work in some sort of sophisticated historical reference when I'm talking to folks, you know.
while you're looking at rates for benefits.
Yeah, pretty much, you know.
Oh goodness. Quickly before we take a break, what is your thought on how much oil we have going down that pipeline and how we get more?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, folks, Alaska is a resource development state, and I think everyone who lives here needs to be stressed all the time. So our pipeline is 2/3 empty. It might be as high as 75% empty now. And that's a big problem because, you know, we rely on a resource. Obviously, domestic oil production is far down from, the previous presidential administration. And it solves a lot of problems. It solves a lot of problems for the state, solves a lot of problems for you when you go fill your heating tank or when you pump up your gas in your car. So we absolutely have to support projects like Willow and Pitka and other responsible resource development projects to ensure that not just me, but my two daughters and all of our families in Fairbanks actually have a future in our town.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break with some bumper music, some Fox News, state news, some weather, and we'll be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
American basketball star Brittany Griner's appeal was rejected by a Moscow court, leaving in place a 9-year sentence at a penal colony for drug possession.
Griner, an 8-time WNBA All-Star and 2-time Olympic gold medalist, was convicted in August after police say she was carrying cannabis oil in her luggage. The Biden administration says Griner is being held unjustly.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Adidas says it's cutting ties with Kanye West following comments the rapper and fashion designer made the company calls offensive and anti-Semitic.
The German sportswear giant, whose Yeezy collaboration is estimated to be worth billions, expects net income this year to take a hit of around $250 million. Balenciaga, JP Morgan Chase, and talent agency CAA among those who've recently cut ties with him.
Fox's Lillian Wu. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute. Alaska's news source reports that former Kenai Peninsula borough mayor and current candidate for governor Charlie Pierce is being sued by a woman who Pierce previously employed. Pamela Wastel, who previously worked as an assistant to Pierce, filed the suit in state court Friday. The lawsuit is an employment discrimination case against Pierce and the Kenai Peninsula borough that includes acts of sexual harassment, among other claims, naming Charlie Pierce and the Kenai Peninsula borough as the defendants. Pierce faces charges that include assault and battery, negligence, infliction of emotional distress, and more. The 20-page document includes graphic details of the accused behavior of Pierce, stating, from January through June of 2022, Pierce subjected Wastel to increasingly frequent incidents of sexual harassment. The suit alleges that at all times relevant, the Kenai Peninsula borough implemented no procedures with which employees could report discrimination, sexual harassment, or retaliation without reprisal. When reached for comment, Pierce's attorney, Richard Moses, declined to discuss the matter.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Are just $6. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizzas for $6. Customer Appreciation Day is today at Gapco. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizza for $6.
Great Alaska Pizza Company.
After 21 years in Washington, Lisa Murkowski changed. She lost the common sense we used to vote for. Take guns. Alaskans are going to have their guns confiscated because Murkowski voted for Biden's red flag law. Because of it, the NRA downgraded Murkowski big time. And Murkowski's tie-breaking vote that approved Biden's radical environmentalist interior secretary drove up gas prices and stopped our oil production. Because of Lisa Murkowski, Alaskans are losing their jobs. Lisa Murkowski, she's not the same. Why vote for Kelly Chewbacca? Because Kelly represents our Alaska values. Kelly will always defend our Second Amendment. That's why the NRA gave Chewbacca their highest rating and Gun Owners of America endorsed her. Unlike Lisa Murkowski, Kelly Chewbacca will protect Alaska's energy industry against Joe Biden and the Lower 48's plan to destroy our livelihood. So why should you vote for Kelly Chewbacca? Because Lisa Murkowski changed, and we're all paying the price.
I'm Kelly Chewbacca, candidate for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Kelly for Alaska.
Changeover season is just around the bend, and what better way to celebrate than by cruising into Alyeska Tire for a new set of Nokian winter tires. We're proud to carry some of the most popular premium tires on the market. Models like Nokian's Hakkapeliitta R4, the Hakkapeliitta 10, even the Hakkapeliitta 10 EV. We see you, EV drivers. Alyeska Tire, we're always with you.
We need cars.
That's right. We need up to 150 quality used vehicles to fill our lots, and we'll pay you top dollar. Why trade that clean used car to a dealer or go through the hassle of selling it yourself? Just stop into Affordable Used Cars. You'll get a quick 10-minute appraisal on your vehicle. It's that easy. Plus, at Affordable Used Cars, our sales staff will make sure you always get a hassle-free experience. Remember, nobody beats an affordable deal. Nobody.
Hello, this is Ward Mertes. More than 20 years of helping Alaskans smeared in automobile accidents, and the families of Alaskans killed in car crashes have taught us a few things. Don't hang things from your rearview mirrors. No feathers, no beads, no handicap placards, no deodorizers. They all block your view of other cars and pedestrians. Remember, your job is to drive safely, seeing what's there to be seen. Clean your windshield regularly, and keep a good lookout for others. The Mertes Law Firm has helped injured Alaskans for more than 20 years. It's who we are. And while we hope you never need us, we're here if you do.
Fall is winter's two-minute warning. Prepare now. Secure dependable Honda power whenever and wherever you need it. Buy your Honda generator from the Woodway. Back up your home's boiler and fridge. Take it with you to camp, hunting, your remote work site, and on board your RV. Dependable, quiet, and easy to operate. Your whisper quiet Honda generator does more than just keep your lights turned on. It's waiting for you today at the Woodway on College Road. Prepare the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, David Pruse in the studio here with legislative candidate Will Stapp. And a couple announcements before we go back into the interview. Being mayor, let you know about our streets. We are spreading gravel out today. And stay back 50 feet from the vehicles. We don't want to hurt your vehicle, but we want to ensure good traction. And also, a number of years ago, Mayor Jim Matherly started having a Halloween open house at City Hall, and due to COVID, it was stopped. And even before when I was mayor-elect, one of the first things I said to the staff, they loved it. We're opening up City Hall on Monday, next Monday, Halloween Day, from 3 to 5. So parents, grandparents, bring your kids down to City Hall. We're dressing it up. We're giving out treats and candy. Take some photos. Enjoy yourself. It's a enclosed, heated environment. And come down to City Hall.
I'll be there with my two daughters, and I'm sure they will be happy to take advantage of all the city candy that they can put in their bags.
So of course, I asked permission, and they let me do this. I got to find the appropriate outfit. But my dog, my Dalmatian, will be involved, and it's a combo act. And yeah, I'll let you think about that. What are we doing?
Well, if you're going to bring your Dalmatian, I'll see if my wife wants to dress up as Cruella de Vil. How about that?
I get that a lot, but we're going to be the Chick-fil-A cows.
Oh, there you go. That's good.
And Cruella de Vil, yeah. But we got to try that. When you have a Dalmatian, everyone wants to, be last year we were just walking around at Alaskaland on the Saturday, and there's Cruella de Vil and my dog. Oh my God.
I couldn't resist the shameless pun reference there. So,
you're in a district that has a military base in it.
Absolutely. Yeah, Fort Wainwright, my old stomping grounds. Funny thing is they're replacing the barracks, actually doing renovations to the barracks out there that was brand new when I got here.
In 98 or whenever it was.
Oh, it wasn't that long ago. I'm not that old. But it's nice.
58?
There you go. No. It was 2006.
Was it Ladfield or Fort Wainwright when you got here?
It was Fort Wainwright. Okay. Come on now, So you have that. You're actually doing a ton of capital improvement projects out on Fort Wainwright. So that's going to be from upgrading dining facilities to recreational areas to a lot of the changes in the barracks. And the one thing I tell folks is that actually does have a pretty big effect on us. So if the military is renovating their installations, especially their housing for their own soldiers, odds are that a lot of these single soldiers or who are E5, E6, who are living in the community will not be living in a community when those barracks are finished renovating. And the thing about having a small market like Fairbanks when it comes to real estate and rental property and stuff like that is if you have a sudden influx or a sudden exodus of 300 or 400 soldiers, that does quite a number on your market.
It does.
So
deployments, I remember that.
Yeah, so you always have to be wary of that, and those types of things, especially when you are in a leadership and you're looking at long-term planning for the city and stuff like that. So
the gasification of Fairbanks and the Interior Energy Project.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts or?
Yeah, we talked about that at length. So one of the questions we had, I'll give you a perfect example. One of the questions that we had at the League of Women Voters Forum on Friday was basically, air quality question. Are you going to fund the state's, environmental plan to basically have an enforcement arm on people burning wood in Badger Road? And, my answer to that is no. What we're going to do is we're actually going to continue trying to gasify our town because that's the best thing that we can do for everybody.
Why bring in enforcement when you can bring in development?
Yeah, and that's honestly, it's a good fundamental difference, right? So I tell folks, high gas prices, inflationary pressure, and keep in mind in my district, which is 32, Hamilton Acres, Shannon Park, and Island Homes, they have access to gasification, but nobody in Badger Road does, right?
And let's look at it this way. We have maybe 4 to 8 days in the winter with the quality in a red. How many days did we have this summer because of natural aspects?
A lot. In fact, it was so bad at one point that when I was talking to the folks over at the borough when it came to air quality, because the fires is the EPA was only giving us a limited amount of days that we could claim air quality issues through wildfires.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. And
I don't know how that's a thing. Like, can you just...
What bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. thought of that one in Alaska?
Yeah, well, you can only have X amount of days as a credit for wildfires. I'm like, well, somebody tell the wildfire,
And so now we're being penalized for it?
Yeah. And again, I'm not, I'd have to go back and ask chief of staff over there at the borough to see how that all shook out.
But I remember it was crazy. They had one weekend where they reported 4,500 lightning strikes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like people are going out there and having a campfire and starting this stuff. This is natural.
Yeah, well, I mean, somebody needs to tell the Lightning that it's not allowed to strike on weekends anymore up here.
If you get elected, I just think you do that. You do that.
Yeah, no, it's certainly a difficult chance. I mean, nobody wants to breathe unclean air, you know. But the reality is you can't tell folks in Badger Road that, hey, I'm sorry that you don't have $3,000 or $4,000 to spend on heating fuel. But, you just can't be allowed to burn wood, and that's not acceptable. You know, you can't tell folks that they have the option of either freezing in the winter or burning wood, you know.
Then you have a what I call a rabid group of people who are pushing the EPA or the DEC,
mm-hmm.
you know, lawsuits to have the EPA hurt the state of Alaska for a plan that fixes it, and there's no plan that fixes it.
Yeah, so you definitely want to balance environmental stewardship with resource and economic development. So I tell folks, we are a resource state. The way that Alaskan families will be productive and successful, not only currently but in the future, is by developing our resources in a responsible way. And a lot of these agencies, their outlook and their goal, and even certain policy groups in the state, like the, the Alaska Center, for example, the Alaska Center does not want any type of development in the state.
They even protested the 2,000 acre agriculture sales out in Nenana.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you say to yourself, your extremist intent is only going to hurt our state no matter what.
Yeah, of course. And, you get to the, everyone says the devil's in the details. So I went up to them. They had this anti-mining thing about Esther Mining District. And I said, okay, and I asked them, if they were against all mines. And they said, no, we're not against all mines. We just want mining to be safe. And then I looked at their booth, and it was basically every mining project or perceived mine from Donlin to Ambler to Esther to
Bevel. They're against.
Yeah, it was all no on mining. And I said, okay, well, is there one mine that you guys actually like in the state? And the lady just looked at me blankly, And I was
give us one that you've endorsed.
Yeah.
Just one.
Just one, Yeah. I mean, hey. I want to give people the benefit of the doubt when they talk, right? So I asked them point blank if there was a mine in the state that they actually liked, and they couldn't say anything. So
you had a nice grin, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was a little cheesy, but it's the honest question, right? I mean, they said they weren't against mining, and I said, well, show me a mine you like. And they couldn't, so.
And boy, are you going to protest our golden days that, celebrates our mining history and past?
Well, I mean, only when they don't need a political float in the parade to try to get people to be anti-resource development in the state,
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The windows in your house are pretty bad. Or maybe you've got a patio door that sticks. Before you'll do anything, you want to ask your friends, neighbors, and coworkers, hey, who do you guys use? I'm Chris Dunn, local owner of Renewal by Anderson, and we've replaced windows for over 5,700 of your friends, neighbors, and coworkers all over Alaska. In fact, we've installed more windows in Alaska than any other window company. Why? Because we offer what other companies don't. We're the only company in Alaska that handles the whole process for you. We custom make it, install it, and warrant it. No big box store, no contractors, and no middleman. Book your free in-home consultation before October 31st to save $245 on windows and $490 on patio doors, and pay nothing for 1 year. Call the window and door company that thousands of Alaskans have already called, Renewal by Anderson. Call 885-3100, 885-3100. That's 885-3100.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I'm part of a typical Alaska family. We fish on the Kasilaf, hunt off the Denali Highway, and work here in Anchorage. It's why I'm glad Mary Peltola is representing us in Congress. Just like Don Young, Mary's been a representative for all of Alaska, working with both parties to create jobs and develop our natural resources, like the Willow Project. And she's continuing Don's work on the Magnuson-Stevens Fisheries Bill. Don even brought Mary to D.C. as an expert witness on Alaska's fisheries. Mary's a lifelong Alaskan who hunts and fishes, she's a gun owner, and believes in personal privacy, especially with reproductive health care. She thinks that's none of the government's business. Please vote Mary Peltola for Congress. She's pro-fish, pro-family, pro-jobs, and pro-choice.
Paid for by Vote Alaska Before Party. VoteAlaskaBeforeParty.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Vote Alaska Before Party is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Scattered flurries likely today, otherwise a blend of clouds and sun. Highs around 26, easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, lows dip down to about 14. Overcast skies, cloudy skies expected tomorrow, chance for snow, daytime highs approaching 23. About an inch of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with candidate Will Stapp. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing excellent. Another day in paradise, you know.
You have another forum coming up?
Yeah, we do, maybe, potentially, you know, but there's one today that I'm going to go to at the Chamber of Commerce at the Wedgewood after this time on the radio today. It's to listen to the candidates in House District 34 and Senate Seat Q, which that's going to be Rob Myers, Frank Tomaszewski, Grier Hopkins, and John Bennett.
You know, it's interesting how people try and remarket themselves. Yeah. And I always look at Grier Hopkins, and I always laugh.
Yeah.
And you know, saving money, you know, by you know, putting it in the savings account versus the permanent fund. Oh, man, you know, I've had two legislators come on and say what he did was there's nothing. He voted against it because the governor was for it. He didn't want to get anything for the governor. And also, Jeff Landfill of the Landmine said the same thing. You know, he waited to the very end, and now he's trying to come out with, I'm saving money.
Yeah, you know, I hope that I never become a politician in that
like
way.
That, yeah.
David. Oh. I mean, so what I tell folks is, look, man, I think people should stand on principle and try to articulate well, and you want to be reasonable and have a good demeanor. But I mean,
they had the mantra, nothing for the tall guy.
Yeah.
So they said, okay, we're going to give you no more permanent fund dividend increase, but we're going to call it the heating bill rebate.
Yeah, and I don't even know. I mean, this stuff is so silly. So I saw a slogan from one of the candidates you mentioned, and it was like a PFD you can count on is what he's telling people. And I thought it should be a PFD you can count on one hand. That should be the slogan, you know. and like, I don't know. And now there's stickers about how, you know, this person's like the greatest gun person in the history of the planet, you know.
Yeah.
And I told some of my Democratic friends, I said, so when are you guys going to have this Second Amendment religious conversion that our friend has had recently, you know, that you can finally see the light?
Every October of every even year, yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, look, I would think that people would say, okay, well, I mean, you know, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck and flaps like a duck, it's probably a duck. So just in case you didn't know, when politicians say things when they're trying to get elected, those things might not always be, you know, an accurate depiction of what they actually think, you know.
Yeah. But this is, you know, when you rebrand or remake yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, and after November 9th, if you're reelected, you go down there and you are what you are again for another 2 years.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and you got to appreciate the effort of the phoenix, though, rising from the ashes, you know. So
yeah, it'll rise again.
Yeah, but no, it should be an interesting, forum today to see what some of the other candidates running for the interior districts, you know, talk about. And at the end of the day, like I tell folks, hopefully collectively we all come together and remember that our interests are putting Fairbanks first and ensuring that our interests are well represented down in Juneau. And, you know, if I'm fortunate enough to get elected, you know, I care about Fairbanks, you know, and that's very important to me. And that's not that I don't care about other areas of the state. I certainly do. But I live in Fairbanks, so I have some kind of, you know, interest in how our town is.
Yeah,
outcome.
Very much so. Very much so. What are the top three items that you would work on? not change,
yeah,
but work on, because change is hard. Correct is a little bit easier, and work hard to make better.
Yeah, so certainly top three items, and I think this kind of coincides with people's obviously immediate concerns. Number one, energy, cheap energy for the interior. And a lot of those moving pieces are in place. The state has to kind of continue to facilitate the Interior Energy Authority and through gasification and through ensuring that we can find cheaper sources of energy and a holistic approach, because it's a big difference between what we currently pay, which is 24.5 cents a kilowatt hour, and cutting that in half. I mean, that's a big game changer for people. So if I just take the actual cost of power, for example, as GVA, it's 12.5 cents of what the cost is to deliver per kilowatt just on the cost of energy. So if you do something like invest and upgrade the infrastructure in the state's interties, which we have federal funding to do, and that's actually where the federal funding is directed, you can take that 12.5 cents per kilowatt hour cost and reduce that down to a 5 or a 6 cent kilowatt cost just by making through those upgrades. Okay, so if you can cut the cost of the actual power generation in half in a reasonable amount of time, that's a huge game changer for Fairbanks, because it allows individuals to be able to keep more of their own money, and businesses to have lower operating and capital investment costs. So that would be number one. Number two for me is, I actually work in insurance and healthcare and employee benefits, and there's a lot of regulatory rules and a lot of kind of nonsense that the state does at a state level with its public sector employees and whatnot that drive up our healthcare costs and our costs of insurance, and these things don't need to happen. Alaska has a lot of regulatory rules that increase those costs. 80 percentile rule is one of them. Even the insurance commissioner doesn't want to have the regulatory rule of the 80 percentile rule anymore, so we should probably look to get rid of that, because it would make our things more affordable. And of course, the last thing is a fiscal plan, and that should include a revised spending cap that's indexed to some sort of private sector performance-based metric. I tell folks GDP is a good example. And the reason is, it goes back to that analogy that I made earlier in the program, is you have two sectors in an economy. You have a private sector economy and you have a public sector economy. And the public sector economy is always balanced upon the shoulders of the private sector. So unless you have some sort of spending cap that ties to performance-based metric for a private sector, the pressure and the bad ideas you hear from people running for office will always continue to want to spend all the money. And when they run out of other people's money, they're going to look for ways to taxing more people so they can get more money to spend on things.
You know, it's interesting. I just went and did my first budget. It has not been released yet. It'll be available tomorrow for city council members to pick up, but it gets released on Friday. And I put in, I cut some things. You make tough decisions, but I have a very hefty reserve. And you take that reserve and say, okay, what happens if we have more snow than we did last year?
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at renegotiations, collective bargaining agreements. You have to have money reserved for that. Those things that you don't know and you do know, they have to prepare for. And it seems like our state legislature, they always seem to take the money they have from this year and spend it all.
Yeah, and structurally we have serious issues, right? So starting with public sector employee pensions, right? We still have a $6 million unfunded liability for existing pension obligations, right?
And they seem to want to go back to that system.
Yeah, and no offense, I want everyone to have a great retirement,
yeah,
folks. But when you have no viable way that you can actually look at someone and say, we can honor our existing pledge to retiree for Tier 1 and Tier 2 for retirement, but hey, sure, let's go back to pensions. I mean, that's not fiscally sound. The second aspect is we have $2 billion in deferred maintenance obligations to state-maintained facilities, because this state has had a capital budgeting process that has never included long-term maintenance costs on facilities that we construct. And that's a structural problem, too, that needs to change.
Yeah, it's the here and the now. We have this money. I'm going to...
Yeah, and again, that's really an unacceptable answer, right? So if you don't opt to do those things now, the problems that you have currently that you are kicking the can down the road will become exponentially worse in the future. And that's absolutely true on capital maintenance.
I always believe that your district is so unique because you're both city urban and then North Pole rural.
Yeah.
It's and then you have in the middle of it a military base.
That's correct.
I mean, look at those demographics.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and it's so funny, you know, I hear, of course, I know a ton of the military folks on Fort Wainwright,
yeah.
And, you know, in town, obviously, you know, you'll get crime questions and gas questions, and in Badger Road, you're going to look at, you know, definitely high costs and safety.
You cover the true demographics of Alaska, though, if you look at it that way.
I do. I'm all embodied in one person. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That, well, that is.
Yeah. But I tell fun if folks who live on Wainwright, you know, they'll ask me questions like, hey, when am I getting a pickleball court? You know, and I said, hey, I love you, bud, but it's not super high on the priority list.
Yeah, and that's on the federal side.
Yeah.
Talk to Dan Sullivan.
Yeah. Senator Sullivan, here you go. You can write that guy about your pickleball court, you know. Maurice knows what I'm talking about if you're listening. So
you don't say that word pickleball court, because also in the borough might want to, you know, a pickleball court.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Well, it came up at the KIP, and I got to tell you what, they had quite the lobby at the Capital Improvement Project, the pickleball folks. So I never want to upset that constituency. So
too much fun. Well, we got about 2 minutes left, sir. How do you want to end it?
Well, I just wanted to start by thanking everybody and being able to come on the radio and articulate to you. So early voting is starting now. I would absolutely appreciate your vote so I can help us move Fairbanks forward. Again, my name's Will Stapp, running for House District 32, which is Hamilton Acres, Island Homes, Shannon Park, all of Fort Wainwright, and most of Badger Road. And it's been an absolute pleasure to embark upon this process and to talk to so many of you, not only at your house, but here on the radio when folks call in and try to look for positive solutions to move Fairbanks forward in a direction that's better for the future of our kids.
There you go. Well, I wish you the best of luck. You've definitely worked hard. You really have. And again, your demographics are so unique to Alaska in the area that you are running in. Urban, rural, military.
Mm-hmm.
And you've worked very, very hard that I've witnessed. So I believe you will be successful just by the personality you bring and the work ethic you brought to it. It sounds like in fundraising you're both equal, but in watching the debates or the forums, you were spot on with very good economic answers for questions of a political nature. And I always look at a person's economics to see if I like their politics. I always do that. Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow. I have Joni Skillbred. You have a great day. And Will, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. Yeah. Always a pleasure.
Yep.
News and conversation. KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks. K248 DK 90.